Ranger, C923, how do you be corrected to drive, but you have a fire in a one-story ordinary, looks like it's about 40 by 120, 125.
Okay. We're getting to traffic control, squad 5. Angle to 273-273. Angle battalion 18-18 battalion. With the 273-273.
Another of everyone's favorite show. Well, we've actually done a poll, so it's not, but a lot of people live on the North St. Louis within a two-block radius. Their favorite show, the Larry Conley Radio Show. I, of course, as usual, am not Larry Conley, despite the legal battle on about the name. But I am David Conley, and I am here to introduce our fearless leader. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him, you love him. Some of them are either child support. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Deputy Chief of Training for Collinsville and also a part-time superhero and also known as Chocolate Thunder in East St. Louis, Illinois. I give you our fearless leader, Deputy Chief Larry Conley.
And your brother.
What? He's my brother. Wait a minute.
You're right.
That adds
those introductions get better every day. I think we've been doing the show since 1957, and you know, so I couldn't get Nat King Cole, so I got David Conley doing so.
There it is.
Unlike Nat King Cole, he was unforgettable, and you're kind of forgettable. So only the old heads know what I'm talking about, you know. Only the old heads, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Nat King Cole, who was that? You know, he was the king. But anyway, welcome to another live show here, and it's the lovely month of September. Summer is winding down, which means that my depression is about to kick in because Uncle Larry is a tropical brother. I love the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't like it extreme. I don't like either extreme. I don't like extreme cold. I mean, I don't like extreme hot. But somewhere in the middle where it's a nice day, you don't sweat that much, the humidity is not that bad, that's perfect. You could do a lot of stuff in that type of weather, and I'm not going to get into that because this is a family show. However, I do want to say that I do miss the summertime and getting ready for the wintertime. And it's going to be another coming. Excuse me. Must be those ramen noodles cooking in. But anyway, another great wrapping up of another great year. It didn't start out too good, and we talked about that at the beginning of the year with a tragic loss of my colleague and person that was on my team, Ben Paulson. But as we move forward and continue to heal from that, we got to keep on looking at the great days ahead. So having said that, looking at the beautiful day in the neighborhood here in St. Louis, we had a great day of training out in beautiful downtown Collinsville, Illinois. And, those guys really went at it today. And I got three more days. We started today. We got to get through the rest of the shifts. And as of Thursday, we'll be done. But I'm really impressed with what I've seen so far with the participation and the go-getting attitude and the willingness to contribute to the quality of the class. And, you know, I worked a little bit to put the class together and got some top-notch instructors from around the area to come in and really share their knowledge and share their expertise. A lot of them just don't work at their respective fire departments, but they also do, you know, we're either part of companies, work for companies, they have their own company that enhance what we do on the fire ground, and they bring that same thing to the training ground. So today we was able to showcase some of those skills with the firefighters in Collinsville, Illinois. So I was glad to be a part of that and there's going to be more training coming down the pike. So if any of you Collinsville family, firefighting families listening, get ready, because Uncle Larry got some more stuff up his sleeve that's going to really, continue to fortify what we need as far as our skills in the beautiful town of Collinsville, Illinois. So that was my day today, and I'm glad to – it really feels good to be a firefighter all the time, but sometimes it just really feels good to be in the mix of everything. I know last week, about a week ago, I guess Tuesday, Bobby Halton was in town, and Bobby Halton was genuinely organic, raw Bobby Halton. I mean, he must he said, I got two pensions and a good income, so I don't care. So that means that some people may not agree with what he said, and you know, and a lot of stuff is good stuff. The majority of it was good stuff, I guess what I'm saying. Not that anything was bad. It's just that you can, you know, dealing with Bobby, you know where he stands. And but these days, a lot of people are making a stand of where they stand unapologetically, and that's what makes the world go round, and that's what makes America great, is that we can all express ourselves, and you can choose to agree or disagree, but it's the freedom to be able to do it. And you can't do that in most countries. You speak your mind in most countries, and your mind will be gone if they blow your head off. So you got to be careful. So we still live in a great environment, being able to express ourselves the way we do. So Bobby came through for 2 days in beautiful downtown Kirkwood, and then went out to Chesterfield, which is another suburb, and had great crowds at both places. So we'd like to thank Chief Jim Silvernail for his Batman and Robin. I think Robin is Chief Brian Zeitz. That's how you say his name, Zeitz, not Zeitz. Benary Zeitz. those two superheroes brought him to town, and Bobby didn't disappoint. You know, so you know, David, you see in the video with Bobby lately on the boat. Is it me, or is he slowly turned into Clint Eastwood? It's just kind of. I keep waiting for him to say, "You feel lucky, punk? Huh? Do you? I'm waiting for him to say that one day. I'm still calling him Dirty Bobby instead of Dirty Harry. Dirty Bobby. That's gonna be the new. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage, Dirty Bobby. Yes, Bobby Eastwood. You know.
I'm sorry, Bobby. I did the best I could.
If you're listening to this, don't tell Bobby. Don't tell him we're talking about him on the air here. You know, he might call in and have an even better thing. Matter of fact, I just thought about it. He won't be calling in because. Bobby, the prayers to be with him. Let me get Bobby's actually having some surgery today, and I won't get into all the details about it. But I remember him saying scheduled for today, so I take back the whole Dirty Bobby. I'll bring that back up tomorrow, you know. But for prayers for today, and then tomorrow is back to Dirty Bobby again, because he'll be back on the road soon and spreading the news. So we're looking forward to a great recovery, make sure prayers. I probably already had the surgery by now. However, I haven't talked to him yet, so I'm assuming everything's been great. So prayers and healing that we are passing on to your brother. But then Wednesday, you're back to Dirty Bobby. I'm not taking the gloves off again. You feel lucky, you feel lucky. a lot of young people don't know that either. There's vintage Clint Eastwood, you know, right there.
I think like King Cole's part in that also.
Say what?
I think Nat King Cole starred in that as well.
Yeah, yeah, probably did way long time ago, you know. But we had so a great day of training. Bobby was here last week, had training this week. Got a great show going on tonight, and in another month, or probably month after next, actually, and we'll just touch on that, but we're going to have a show before the end our next show, tune in for that, because we're going to be talking about good buddy Chief Rick Lasky there. And, man, that's going to be a great show as well. And,
nice.
And so he's actually coming to Collinsville November 19th. So make sure I'm telling you that early. Don't wait to make plans at the October 31st show that you hear this on, because you're going to hear us talk to Rick Lasky October 31st. But don't wait to then, because it might be sold out by then. We only got a room to hold seven people, so it might be sold out by then. So, seriously, we got enough room for Rick, because we know he's gonna bring the noise and bring the crowd. So he's going to be talking about his award-winning message and book and all, the Pride Ownership and Babylon Leadership, all the good stuff, all the hits that you know Chief Lasky to be about, all the hits. Tune in for that. So you'll be here in Collinsville November 19th at the Gateway Center. So go on our page, and there's a flyer, and I'll be populating it some more throughout the month. And the cool thing about the cool QR code that I just learned about, it's real simple. Hit the QR code, pops up, fill in your information, bam, you're in there. I get a notification. I got your seat reserved. There's no bad seat in the house. There's all good seats. I made the arrangement with the Gateway Center. I said, we want all good seats. They said, okay, Chief, kindly, we can do that. See, when I became Chief, I started talking Chief stuff. You know, I used to, like, just say, hey, do you mind making this happen? You know, sure, Captain Connolly, we'll see what we can do. But now, as Chief Connolly, I said, no, we need this to happen like this. And they say, hey, Chief, say no more. So it's a difference, Chief for Chris.
You went from Chief Talk.
It's called Chief Talk. We're gonna learn about that tonight. Chief Chris Costa, Chief Costa.
Hey, Chief.
I practiced it. Yes, ma'am.
Say no more.
Say that, ma'am.
Say no more.
Say no more. Okay. All right. Anyway, you know, part of the template as I read the schedule, I'm supposed to do at least 8 minutes of rambling before we come on with the guest. That's how the contract is. So the chat contract is written like that.
Yeah.
So
this thing be almost done. Okay.
Yeah, almost done. We got 6 more minutes to go.
Smoke them if you got them.
Six more. Yeah. So anyway, so it all started back in 1964 when I was first born. No, but anyway, I'm not going to bore you.
All right. Not going to bore you with that.
But but like I said, this is a great time to be in the fire service. A great time to just the learning is at its best. We got some new challenges coming on. Bobby was talking about that last week here in St. Louis, that the new challenges is with these lithium batteries and new challenges with battery-powered vehicles. You know, you could put a battery-powered car that's on fire in the Mississippi River, and in 2050 it could still be burning. That's how deep this stuff is right now, you know.
Wow.
But no, I'm joking. But I am serious about this. It's not as simple as just putting it out with a hose line from a fire truck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it takes some skill. It's going to take some know-how. It's going to take some questions that we still need to answer. So it's an evolving, game-changing type of challenge that we have now. And so, you know, house fires has always been our bread and butter. But as the industry starts to really develop these electric cars, I guess it's good for the environment, a good evolving technology. But the backside of it is that if there are accidents or catch fire or things like that, that's a new challenge for firefighters. I was talking to our state fire marshal a couple of months ago. Excuse me. I'm sorry about my throat. And I was talking to the state fire marshal. And they went to the state fire marshal's meeting in New Orleans. And I asked them, I said, what was the number one discussion at the state fire marshal's meeting? Battery powered vehicles. That was the thing. So everybody's trying to figure out the question. If you go check out Bobby on social media, you can QR code with some studies that's been done thus far out of New York and some other parts of the country that can really help you get information on what we know now, what's the best practices now, and then the continued thought on what can we do to continue to make it safer for us to mitigate these issues. Because a lot of people, if you're not reading up on the stuff and not really dialing into what's going on, you're just stuck on being a bread and butter, you know, firefighter. These challenges, and see, it's not just about putting the fire out. What you're also trying to prevent it from is exploding, because the magnitude of the explosion, which is what Bobby is basically doubling down on, is the magnitude of the explosion of these things can be devastating if it's handled wrong or somebody's at the wrong place at the wrong time. So these are a lot of evolving thoughts. So, you know, you might say, well, man, you just came up with some morbid sounding stuff and you say it's a great time to be a firefighter. Whenever to me, you know, you read the history of being a firefighter and there was always these game-changing moments throughout the history of firefighters, things that kind of help shape how we do building codes and building construction and things of how we fight fires and different chemicals and different tools and different things that evolve from things that we learn and sometimes tragic lessons that we learn. The people who were there that made some game-changing decisions and people who was part of the game-changing culture, they were on the good side of history that makes it better for us. So now we're probably coming up on something like that with this lithium battery challenge. And not only in your cars, but in your telephones. If anything you got that lasts a long time in your battery, it's probably lithium. If it is, it has the potential to explode. So don't sit too hard on your cell phone with your back pocket, because it might knock your butt out. I was going to say something else, but so just keep those kind of things in mind as we move forward. It's a great time to be a firefighter. Always is, but it's always a greater time when you at game-changing places in this service. One of the things that and that's a good segue into what we'll be talking about tonight. So we need leadership in all this. We need good leadership to help lead us through the new age of the new understanding of things. And and me and David, David and I do leadership. And when I was a captain, I'd be like, yeah, me and David, but now as a chief, I'm David and I. And but with that being the case, we have to understand that good leadership is going to continue to help us not only be good leaders ourselves, develop good leaders, lead people, and then lead them through navigating these game-changing times. And in game-changing times, you really don't need average leaders. You don't need people just collecting a paycheck. You need game-changing leaders who think game-changing, have a game-changing paradigm to them. And so the best way to do it is to get the information. And one of the best ways to get the information is through books and not just watching clips on TikTok and YouTube. Say, I'm informed. That's not what good leaders do. Good leaders, you know, they dig in, they double down, they read, they become a student of the craft, and not just being a firefighter, but in being a leader and leadership and all. So, so when you do that, then you can not only help serve yourself better, but you serve the ones that are following you, and then those who are going to be future leaders, because we're going to make impacts today that's going to impact people we'll never meet into the future. And I'm proud to be a part of that type of heritage. And but speaking of stuff that we read, one of the books that I've read, and a book I'm looking forward to read, and we'll be talking about that with Chief Steve tonight, is that the 101 Tips to Ace Your Promotional Exam. And I've said it, you know, said it kind of advertising, I've said it before just to people who listen. You got to not just read the books that they give you to read. Number one, you'll need to be waiting until they drop the hang sheet to read those books. You need to be reading all the time. You need to be studying all the time. You need to always have something open that you can refer to and read. And that's you priming the pump. So by the time it's time to promote, it's just review for you. All it is review. And when other people are just getting started, you already 5 miles down the line. And I used to always tell people who were trying to promote, and I wish I followed it better myself. A lot of grace and blessings helped me. But you got to shoot for number one. Because if you're shooting for the herd, everybody's in the herd. There's always a few people at the very top who, number one, they're going to guarantee to get promoted. Then you got the herd, and those are the ones fighting for the millimeters of points. You know, I said just one thing, so that moves me 1 millimeter of a point better than you, which might mean that I'm 10 steps ahead, and then we fighting and going back and forth and suing each other and all that kind of stuff. Then you got the bottom who never did make none of the herd or the top echelon either. But you got to shoot for the top, and the ones at the top, or they're not in the herd, because the herd is going to be doing a lot of infighting and things like that. And so it's a luck of the draw with the herd. But the ones at the top, the ones always consistently finish. Whenever I've asked them, what did you do? They didn't wait till the hang sheet dropped. They was already priming the pump to where by the time it was test time, it was a review for them. And they was reading books like the 101 Tips to Ace Your Promotional Exam and other leadership books, a lot of Francis Kufler books, Step Up and Lead, and there's too many to name. I'll be here all night naming them, some of the great books. But they weren't, they weren't the people in the herd were not going the extra mile. They weren't doing the extra work it took. And you got to do the extra work if you want to be ahead of the game. So tonight, we're going to spend the bulk of our time talking to our guests, and I'm going to always goof up his last name, so I'm just going to say that right now, Steve Pusgowski. You got a lot of syllables in here, and I went to public school. But anyway, he's been in the fire service for over 30 years. He's retired as deputy chief down in the northern region of California, which he said, make sure I say is Santa Clara County, because I'm sure there's different in Santa Clara City. And so he's won awards in leadership, the Ronnie Jack Colvin Leadership with Legacy Award, and he's also was the 2008 California Fire Instructor of the Year. He's the author of a ton of books, mainly on promotional exam in the fire service. He's the founder of the Code 3 Fire Training, and look at that, the code3firetraining.com. He speaks internationally. I know he likes rock and roll, man. You know, he travels the country. All his rock bands and stuff, you know. He came through St. Louis. I'm here going through to see the rock band. Stop him in the Heights to check you out. Said, come on through, brother. So he came through, and he still teaches. And he's still pretty active, even though he's retired. So he loves the fire service. and I consider him a good friend. Even though I can't pronounce it, I just call him Chief. You know. So, and, I think his wife just learned how to pronounce his last name, and she's been married to him for a while. So, you know, but anyway, I'm gonna let him do it so I don't goof it up. And then we're gonna Talk Leadership. And like I said, David's going to give you the number you can call in. I'm sure he got a ton of information for you if you want to call in and ask questions. If you're on a promotional track or you want to know some of the he's not going to read the whole book to you. He got a new book coming out. We're going to be talking about Courage Under Fire, that Courage Under Fire Leadership. I'm looking forward to reading that. And so this man is full of knowledge. And a lot of times we've had people on the show that have been full of something. But
and a lot of
this guy, right? You know? This guy's full of knowledge. You know? So we're glad to have you. We have to edit those shows. We didn't even air those shows. We're like, oh, wait a minute. You know?
Oh,
so, yeah. Glad, lucky we appreciate this show because you know, we don't want that to get out. It'd be bad for the brand, right, David? So we don't want that to get out.
Right.
So anyway. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, my brother, friend, and brother, and what a steep you've given me such a very honorable and appreciative welcome. It's I got some big shoes to fill, especially all the great things you've talked about and everything else. But very honored and humbled to be on the show with you guys tonight. So thank you again for the opportunity. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head. Some of the things you were talking about just resonate so much with me on a daily basis. I mean, you know, some of the things you talked about are a lot of my passions. You know, it's, you know, we've got a lot of average leaders out there. And I'll be the first to say I was not necessarily an outstanding leader. I mean, I'd like to think I was. But over my years in the fire service, 30 years in the fire service, the last 15 as a chief officer and then 5 years as a company officer, so about 20 years as a fire officer, I look back now at how much I didn't know and how much I probably screwed up and, you know, probably could have done a better job at, you know, just, you know, not necessarily doing the right thing. I'd like to think we did the right things for the right reasons, but probably being a better leader for, you know, a number of reasons, which I'll be happy to talk about my weaknesses. And really one of my passion is helping people learn from others. You know, I'm very fortunate, like you mentioned, to travel around the country and wherever people want to hear me yak, go on podcasts, person, whatever. And I try to share some of those lessons learned. And that's the whole focus of Courage Under Fire Leadership, is sharing lessons learned so you don't make the same mistake. And maybe you learn from my lessons, good and bad, and same with others that I like to share as well, too. You know, you talked about average leadership. I agree. I think there's a leadership problem. Trying to find game-changing leaders out there, I think it's hard because this is why it takes courage to be a leader, because for everyone that wants to be a game-changing leader, hallelujah, and please step up to the plate, because I know there's a lot of great people out there today that are not just in the positions but want to be in those leadership positions of any rank, because leadership is not just supervisory ranks. It's all ranks have potential to be leadership material, and I'm excited, I mean, about what's to come out there. But again, when you are that person that raises your hand to try to do the right thing for the right reasons, you know, for the community that we serve, for the crews that you're supporting and working with and working for, you make yourself a target. You know, you're a target when you raise your hand to do the right thing. Not all the time, but every now and then you may rock the boat by challenging people sometimes to be the best they can be, or challenging people to maybe change course for their betterment or for the betterment, obviously, of the public. So that's why I think it takes courage to be a leader in today's world, you know. And you also hit on being a student. I mean, I'm a student to this day. I mean, I've been fortunate to work my way up through the ranks, be a firefighter, be a company officer, be a chief officer. And again, I said earlier, I look back and go, God, how much I don't know. That's why I really enjoy going to conferences such as FDIC, catching every fire engineering magazine that comes out, scouring the internet for stuff, you know, like all the things you mentioned, you know, I enjoy going to training as well and sitting in the audience, you know, asking questions, soaking it in, hanging out around the firehouse kitchen table or at the bar afterwards. So I think that's the passion that we all need to be successful. And I'm very honored to be in, you know, such good company and, you know, be friends and brothers of some of the people that you mentioned. So thank you for the opportunity for allowing me to be here today.
Good deal. Thank you. And I'm going to try to talk less because whatever's going on. The doctor said, I know when I was younger, people used to get allergies. And I said, oh, those damn allergies. Get out of here with all that, you know. And then, so now, but last time I asked the doctor about this, he said, whenever this stuff happens to your throat is allergies. I'm like, I don't get no allergies. Sneezing and all that kind of stuff. So it must be something that then kicked in. So it's kind of irritating me, you know, the talking. I said, it would irritate me right now when you get to do, you know, a world-class radio show that's heard all over the world, you know, Iceland and parts of Africa and South America and stuff like that. So excuse me for my audience. Excuse me. Talk about for those who don't know who you are, and I don't know who wouldn't know, but for those who don't know who you are, kind of give us a history lesson. You know, how to get started. Were you like a surfer dude out in California and decided, hey, you know, I'm gonna hang up the surf and go be a firefighter, or, you know, whatever the case was. But kind of walk us through how you got started. You know, your career path. What ignited you to take it to the next level, you know, to become an officer? And then, you see what I did there, ignited, because we were talking about fire. You see what I did there? No, look. I'm putting down there. That was hot for me, right? You know? So I'm fired up.
You're on fire.
Right. Don't. Somebody stop me.
No, really.
I don't really stop them. And not only that, because I was talking to one of the instructors that came out today, and we talked about how easy it is to get just lulled into just going to work, doing your job. To me, it's not one extreme end of the spectrum or the other. A lot of times people think if you're not stepping up to be a leader, if you're not, you know, kind of not just going to work, you're some kind of bum or whatever. Sometimes it's not just as A and B and opposite like that. Sometimes there are definitely people who step up like we just talked about. And then there are definitely people who just like, well, I don't know why you're on the job. You're not a firefighter. You just work for the fire service. But then again, there's those just good group of people who just, they go to work, they do a very good job, and they go to work, then they go home, and they mind their own business. They take care of them, and then work is work, and then home is home, and then they don't do this massive step up or write books or speak and travel and all that. So I think you need to be careful in thinking, like, the people who don't do that, there's something wrong with them. You need all aspects of this this thing we call the fire service. So... But for those who do, I'm always curious, like, what made you not necessarily just get lulled and, like, I'm just going to go to work the firehouse, come home, be with my family and just live my life in that regard instead of taking the extra responsibility and the extra scrutinizing and the extra headaches it takes to step up and be a leader? So what led to that? So kind of walk us from there to now, if you will.
Well, I'll be happy to. Thanks for bringing that up. You know, it probably all started when I was born and I was dropped on my head, and that probably just started the whole ball rolling of what the heck did I get myself into? Because like you said, sometimes it's easier just riding backwards or driving the rig or being the tiller operator and just, you know what, doing my job. But in all seriousness, I didn't have any family members in the fire department. I had some family friends, and that probably inspired me. And like most, I think not most, well, today maybe that's not true, but back when we were growing up in our era, sounds so seasoned and firefighter, I guess, I hope it is still today, was a very honorable profession. And it was always cool seeing Big Red driving down the road, you know, with the gumball light on and at the time open cab rigs and everything else. And I mean, it was just, I was enamored with the fire service. We had a fire station, City of San Leandro Station 1 was just about 3 blocks from our house. I grew up in Oakland for my first 5 years, and we moved to San Leandro, which is just south of Oakland, where I did all my school, you know, elementary, high school, everything else. But growing up, had some family friends in the fire department, and just through interactions with them, you know, holidays, family gatherings, you know, I started hanging out at the firehouse, you know, like many kids do. But it was one of those things that I always wanted to be a firefighter. My problem, which I don't think is a problem now, at the time it was, is that I waited maybe a little bit longer, whereas many go right from high school right to whatever, take fire tests because you can usually do so at 18. I was sort of under pressure from my parents at the time to go to get a college degree, you know, and I'm like, well, okay, I get it. And I'm not against college. I'm very pro-education, as I'll be happy to share, and I know you all are. But it was one of those things that's like, okay, so when I went to graduate from high school, I was working at CVS drugstores. It was actually Long's Drugs, but CVS bought them out. And, you know, paying my way through high school, going to college. There was no fire program at the college, at the California State University Hayward. So, you know, it was one of those things I was just, okay, I'll major in business because I'm working at CVS, but I still had in the back of my head that I wanted to be a firefighter. I mean, I never forgot that. I always kept in touch with family members, still loved driving by firehouses and doing all the buffing stuff. And it really wasn't until probably 6 years through my four-year college degree program, for all the math experts out there, yeah, it took me 6.5 years to graduate from 4 years of Cal State Hayward, but I was young and I didn't know what I wanted. And, you know, it was one of those things that it really, toward the end of graduation, I was working at CVS one day, and I remember the manager that I was working, I was a manager, but my senior manager at the time, it was a job, it wasn't a career. I remember my senior manager goes, yeah, he goes, the highlight of my day is I got to, you know, tell all my buddies that work in big business and they work all these great big high-paying jobs of how exciting it was handling the feminine hygiene aisle today and, you know, doing this stuff with this and that. And I was, he was being sarcastic. And it was one of those times where my buddy Greg Vitz, who we grew up together, went to high school, college, everything else. He was also working at Long's. We were having a beer one night after work, and we're like, you know what? We got to take this fire department stuff seriously. So right around the age of probably 24, like I said, 6 years in, starting at 18 from high school, it was, you know what? Let's finish up college because we knew we wanted to at least have a college degree. Not that it would make a difference in getting hired, but let's finish that up and immediately enroll at the local community college. Because at the time in the early 90s, pretty much all the San Francisco Bay Area fire departments, to get on, they were looking for EMT or firefighter academies. And a lot of the colleges in California have a 6-month fire academy. So it helped basically the same fire academy that you go through at a department and you get state certified. So that was sort of the plan. It's like, let's go get our EMT. Let's start taking tests, work on getting a 2-year degree in fire technology, but also getting the academy done. And then at that time in the early 90s, a lot of departments were then starting ALS, advanced life support, paramedics. At the time, AMR and the other, whatever the names of the various companies were doing the private ambulance transportation. Well, at the time in the 90s, a lot of the fire departments are going, you know what, let's hire paramedics to be firefighter paramedics, put them on the engines, put them on the trucks. And I mean, it was a land avalanche of all departments. So it was a real good time to get hired. And to this day, paramedics is not the easy way to go. I take that back. It's a good way to get your foot in the door. It's 4 years of paramedic school. 1 year of paramedic school was tougher than the 4 years of college. It was that difficult. But anyway, I digress. That helped, you know, steer me in the right direction because competition in the 90s was tough. You know, there was three positions, say, at a small department like Collinsville. There'd be 3,000 applicants. Well, today, in 2022, when there's three vacancies for departments out in California and departments anywhere around the country are not getting thousands of applicants. It's a lot less. But anyway, I was that one where Greg and I put it together and said, you know what, let's finish up our degree. Like I said, so we started enrolling at the college to work on our 2-year fire science degree. We were taking every test we could qualify for around the Bay Area, but we couldn't qualify for a lot because obviously we didn't get our EMT. Once we had our EMT, it opens up some doors. But at that time, as I started learning more about the fire department and really diving more into it, you know, reading Fire Insuring Magazine and, you know, starting to put names and faces together of these authors that I read and having some good mentors at the college that were all active or retired firefighters at the time, I started looking at, yeah, I want to be a firefighter, but I don't just want to be a firefighter. I'd like to eventually at some point be an officer, company officer, maybe chief officer. Naively at the time, yeah, I want to be a fire chief because I know I can make positive change. I sarcastically say that because working my way up through the ranks, I realized most of our change and our best change doesn't come at the top. Nothing personal, fire chiefs. Mm-hmm. Most of our best change comes from the lower ranks. Granted, they need to be supported by the chiefs, but that's where the good change comes from. But anyway, you can make a lot of change at the lower ranks. You got to have a good support network above you. Don't get me wrong, but that's some of the best change. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I looked at some of those folks as like, hey, I'd love to write an article at someday. I mean, I've always liked writing. That was, you know, speaking I really hated doing. I used to be scared as ever to be in front of an audience. Now it's, for whatever reason, not a big deal, thankfully. But I always, as I looked at my instructors in the college, I go, you know what, I'd love to be able to teach a fire class, which I do to this day. You know, I just, this morning from 9 to 12, I taught the intro to fire class at the college, and a bunch of 18 to 25-year-old kids, young adults that were all fired up and hungry, which is awesome. But anyway, so I had a lot of good mentors over the years, and it was one of those things that, you know what, I just kept going down rabbit holes. The internet was not available at the time, nor was social media. Yeah, I'm that old. But it was one of those things that getting my hands in every fire engineering and everything else I could see, and at least, you know, I'd go to the firehouse and say, hey, can I get a few of the magazines, you know? And, of course, the firefighters, you know, at the time, like, here, take it. Go to the closet, kid, help yourself. So I just grab as many of the fire engineering as I could, take them back to, you know, my house and just soak that stuff in. But anyway, it took me about 4.5 years to become a full-time firefighter. But during that path, and I say that from the first test to the time I got hired, I had a lot of great experiences. I got some experience as a fire explorer with the City of Alameda Fire Department. I got a chance to be a student firefighter with the Oakland Fire Department. Oakland's very similar in size to St. Louis, very active firefighting, call volume, very similar in a lot of ways. So I got to be a fifth person on an engine company or a ladder company in Oakland for almost 2 years, saw more fire there than I saw in 26 years of Santa Clara County Fire. But that's okay. Oakland, great department. From there, I became a part-time firefighter. Once I became a paramedic, part-time firefighter, paramedic for a small little department south of Sacramento in Elk Grove, and making minimum wage. That was my first paying job, making $5 an hour back in 93, 94. But I was getting experience, working 9 shifts a month, putting something on the resume. And like I mentioned, testing my butt off, because again, at the time, jobs are very competitive. And I took every test I qualified for, big city, small city, and then finally Santa Clara County gave me that opportunity, you know, to become a firefighter, engineer, paramedic. And then from there, I spent about 5 years as a firefighter engineer. At the time, we had the same rank, meaning we have company officer, captain, and then usually 2 or 3 firefighter engineers. So everyone, the firefighters rotated driving. It was, at the time it worked, but we've since gone to the promoted rank of engineer. But anyway, I did about 5 years as a firefighter, engineer, medic. Having my sights set on, obviously, still writing, still mentoring. I've always enjoyed mentoring people, still teaching. But I knew I wanted to be an officer because we're a slow department. Our busiest engines, 5 calls a day on average. Excuse me, busiest engines, 5 a day. Most of the engines run about 3 a day. I know you're laughing about that when you look at St. Louis and some other departments. Yeah, the slow engines are like 5 a day probably. But because of that, I mean, if I was working at an Oakland or a St. Louis running calls and fighting fire, I might not have been an officer, but can't compare because it didn't happen. But with Santa Clara County, great department. It was a slower department, and for some, that works great. But I was always – I never got diagnosed with any learning disabilities, but I bet you if you diagnosed me, I'd probably be ADHD just because I can't sit down and be bored. And that's why all this sort of comes together, that I enjoy staying busy, and I just got to stay active, just not for my own personal gain, but to help others, because at a young age, I found that I enjoyed actually teaching. I mean, when I was an explorer, I was helping teach the younger kids because I'd already been to the fire academy. When I was a new paramedic, I was helping teach paramedic school. When I was a new EMT, I was helping give back, volunteering my time at the EMT school. Yeah, it was a great experience. Didn't really make money on it because it was volunteer, but it was, I've always enjoyed giving back. And one thing leads to another in life, as I realized. It was one of those things that I started getting, once I got hired with Santa Clara County Fire, I got a teaching gig at the college as well, too, just a part-time, hey, you want a semester class? You want to run the EMT program? I was told one day. I'm like, EMT program? Yeah, the guy just quit, and if you want to run the EMT program, it's yours once a semester. I'm like, okay. So I was doing that as a probationary firefighter, and the next thing you know, it's like, hey, the coordinator just got a medical emergency, and he can't do it. You've done a good job as an EMT instructor and coordinator and want to run the fire program. And here I am as a company officer 5 years after being a firefighter running the college's fire program in my off time. You know, and again, it wasn't by design. A lot of them are just opportunities, right place, right time. But also hard work and also not being a jerk and trying to build and develop and maintain good, solid working relationships with everybody I could. Not to kiss their butt, not to kiss the ring, but to be able to just realize that, hey, I'm a good guy, but I'm also someone that I think can bring something to the table with passion, enthusiasm, you know, because that's what really, I think, strikes me. But so that led me to company officer. I did captain for about 5 years, got promoted to battalion chief, did that for about 6 years, and then had a chance to promote to deputy chief. I ran the training division for 3 years. I was the operations deputy chief for a couple of years. I was the administration deputy chief. And then when I retired out, I was last 3 years as the training deputy chief for a second go-around. So did that for 10 years and really had a blast. I mean, I wanted to be a fire chief at one point, but I realized, you know what, I think I've got the skill set, I think, but I don't know if I could deal with the politics, the headaches, the bureaucracy, the issues that a fire chief or department head of today has to deal with. Again, I think you can make more change lower levels. So a little career trajectory for me there. And to this day, I'm still teaching at the college, like I mentioned, which I enjoy, those young, hungry future firefighters. I also enjoy going around the country to anybody that wants to be better. You know, you mentioned about leadership. There are some people that are not meant to promote. Some people should stay firefighters, stay engineers or drivers, stay captains. But everybody, that's what I was sharing with my students this morning, everyone has the potential to be leaders. Whether you're the newest rookie firefighter or, to me, the senior firefighter, that's really a lost art in most departments because senior firefighter sometimes is the one that's got 5 years on the job because of so many promotions or retirements or movement. So I think there's not just a leadership void, but also a followership void because to be a good leader, you need followers. You can't be a leader of one. You need, you know, to be able to also be a follower at times and do what's appropriate there. So I know I threw a lot of stuff there, but I mean, this is what gets me ignited, as you mentioned. I mean, I always tell people I enjoy helping people get hired, but also stay hired. I love helping people get promoted, but also stay promoted. And when I say stay hired and stay promoted, that's what a lot of Courage Under Fire leadership is about, is doing the right thing, not doing anything stupid that's going to get you in trouble, because unfortunately we see that on a daily basis around the country in all types and sizes of departments, of that one person that just screwed themselves or screwed their career and made everyone, all of us, look bad. So that's sort of my goal, but also trying to empower people to do the right thing, which I think everyone does, and we all know right from wrong, but sometimes we just needed a little nudge. And then also hopefully enjoying a nice, healthy retirement and whatever you do. So a lot of stuff I threw out there, but I'm going to shut up right now and let you say something.
No, that's all good stuff, and I was taking it all in. And oddly enough, a lot of your career path sounds like a lot of stuff I did, because I taught at the our community college as one of the chief instructors there, our Firefighter 102 program. I really enjoyed that, as well as, you know, a teach I did down to Fire Academy, and that all of that parlayed to, you know, doing what we do with leadership and our whole GLUE program and the whole thing. So, and all of it, like you said, was, mine was driven by seeing something, saying I think that I could help, you know, get better answers to it or help people who are passionate about the job, who are coming on the job, or anything along those lines. The core or the key or the base of my motivation was to help, because
yes,
you're not going to get rich being a firefighter. And so I really – but my compensation, I guess you could say, was definitely to help. And it's been a good career as far as feeding your family and raising your kids and all that, but like I said, the extra was based in how can I help, or how can I make this situation better. And it has garnered a great return on meeting new friends and meeting like-minded people and kind of dealing with a lot of iron sharpens iron type of relationships. And like you said, I would read about these different authors and people that are giants in our industry now. And they didn't know who I was, and I was reading their books and reading their articles and following them. Kind of like when you said they grab magazines. I didn't go to Firehouse and grab magazines, but when I started reading Fire magazine, I started feeling like I did when I was a kid, and would read, you know, comics and stuff. You know, you would gather them and read all of them, and then I tried to read Mad magazine, but my mother wouldn't let me do that. She said I was like, Mad was bad, so I had to sneak and read that one. Anyway, but the magazine.
You know she's
like
on the call.
Fire service. Oh yeah,
I'm writing that down.
That's why I didn't mention the other magazines. I was just, but anyway, that's another show. But
hold on.
But Yeah, that one was called, but never mind. But anyway, but seriously, reading those magazines did kind of make you, reading those magazines did make you think more outside of the box, more outside of your firehouse, more outside of your fire department, and you learn different things that can help with your career and maybe even help your team if they wanted to listen or if they read the same thing. So things like that continue to help feed the passion. And I've been blessed to have a career that, because I didn't grow up chasing fire trucks. That's the thing we don't have in common. I didn't grow up looking at firehouses like, ooh, I want to be a firefighter. I actually wanted to be an architect. And you just grow up and next thing you know, you live in life and next thing you know, you say, ooh, the firefighter, being a firefighter, that sounds like a good job. And then when they told me the hours, I said, even better. So I can say I wish I had that glory story that, hey, my dad was a firefighter and then he brought me by the firehouse and then I jumped on the truck with him and then I was in the truck while we went to a fire that he went up and was fighting the fire on the second floor. And then some fire came down and one of his buddies pushed him out the way and his helmet came falling out the window. And I caught his helmet and I was on the cover of Life Magazine. I don't have that story, you know.
You can't make a movie out of
it. that's bull, Dave. But anyway, but I stumbled on it and I didn't know if I wanted to be a firefighter or not, but I fell in love with it, and I also tapped into a little bit because not only being an architect is something I thought about, I also thought about being a teacher, and because I always thought that teachers were cool because they knew all this stuff, and then they were changing lives and passing on the information. I always thought that was just a cool gift. To be able to teach, you know. And I feel bad for our teachers these days because they're really going through it in schools, but I just really, and some people, the most influential people in my life were my teachers, you know, who really, leaned into making sure that Larry Christopher knew some stuff. So being able to also teach and fight fire, the fun thing that, like you said, fighting fires and you was talking about five runs, so we did five runs before 11, you know, before the Young and the Restless comes on. That's how we get down to 13, you know, we used to. But the fact of the matter is that being able to do something fun that you love, help people, and teach, it was kind of a trifecta for me. And I continue to love to do what I do, even though it's in another capacity now, so. So we've had similar tracks when it comes to what we're doing. So you've written a couple of books. I think it's more than a couple. Anyway, tell us about the books that you've written. Tell us the motivation behind 101 Tips. I was really honored that you asked me to participate in that venture. And I know there's been a few people I've helped say a few words in their books, and that's quite the honor. After you read people's books, and so it's quite the honor to when somebody asks you to participate in you do, and so I was able to do that in your 101 tips to ace your promotional exam. But I don't think this is your first book. So tell us about the books you've written, and you could tell us a little bit about this 101 tips, and then we want to spend a lot of the time really promoting your new book and what was the motivation behind that.
Well, thank you for that. And it's funny because as we get to learn, you know, more about each other through great discussions like this, it is sort of awesome to see the commonalities and hear the commonalities. But sort of going back to when I was that wannabe future firefighter, looking up to my mentors, you know, reading about things, looking at books, just like you mentioned, all those things. Of course, I enjoyed writing, and it was one of those things that I remember, you know what, I'd love to be able to write an article in Fire Engineering Magazine, and I remember thinking to myself naively as a brand-new wannabe firefighter that, you know what, what do I have to talk about? I mean, I'm not a company officer. I'm not a chief officer. I don't have 30 years with the FDNY. You know, I struggle, I think, like some people, and I hear that from many, the credibility factor. And I think it was really intimidating to a certain degree when you see some of these, you know, big names that are doing these things. And it was one of those things that I started writing, and I remember I threw an article out to Fire Engineering because at the time when Fire Engineering published my first article back in 2004, I think it was basically preparing for promotion. Well, I was a brand new captain. So in some ways, I could have talked about firefighting-related skills, but I also, okay, at the time felt a little inadequate of going, okay, well, I don't work for that big city fire department, so maybe I shouldn't write an article about fighting fire. Well, I'm not really a company officer. Maybe strategy and tactics is not the best, even though I enjoy those things. That's when it was one of those things where I started doing entry-level preparation because I was teaching at the college, helping people out. But once I became a company officer, I'm like, I'm not an expert at getting promoted, but I did get promoted, and I have helped a lot of people over the years, just sort of became organic. Because I really enjoyed helping people on the department, other people I knew. Well, once I wrote that first article, I mean, I got a couple rejected, but once I got that first one published from Fire Engineering, it was almost like, wow, I can actually do this. You know, and I tried to find what's my niche that, I mean, there's a lot of oversaturation and a lot of different topics out there. And again, there's a lot of great perspectives, though. I mean, leadership's a topic that really, in all honesty, you can never hear enough about because whether it's Frank Discuso, whether it's, I mean, insert name here of anyone that's written a leadership book, personally, there's value to anything that we all read because we all have our different perspective. But my foot in the door was really opportunistic. I mean, not taking advantage of things, but okay. So once I wrote that first article, and okay, well, it got published. You know, then it's like, well, I kept rolling with it. So I sent in other articles. Not everyone ever got published, but a lot of them did. And that's just sort of kept feeling my passion of, okay, where's my passion? Helping people, getting promoted, staying promoted. So as I goes, putting articles together related to that. Well, over the course of a number of years of getting, I think I've got about almost 30 articles in Fire Engineering that have been published in the last almost 20 years. And I had a lot of other ideas that didn't get published or maybe made other forms and fashion that maybe Fire Engineering didn't like it. But anyway, over the years, I've been collecting a lot of just documentation of best practices, and there came that time where about 10 years ago, I'm like, you know what? I've written a lot of articles, which is awesome, but I love to package a lot of stuff together for books. Well, when I first sat through one of the classes at FDIC, you know, so you want to be a speaker, author, and everything else, it was very intimidating as it, I mean, it was one of those things, like even speaking, I submitted for FDIC, I think for 5 years in a row of getting rejected. And then I didn't give up. And then finally 2009, I think it was, I got my first opportunity presented to FDIC. Okay. And at the time I learned, well, you got to show a track record. Well, okay. I'll show a track record of teaching at various locations, college conferences. And again, just building my brand for lack of a better term. But anyway, when it came time for book publishing, I'm not a creative guy, and when I look at any book, you walk by like FDIC and you got the Fire Engineering Books and Videos display case there with hundreds of different books from many great people from around the world. It's like, how do they make those books look so pretty? I was the point, I got stuck for a few years that I had content that I thought would be worthy of a book, but then I looked at the time, well, Fire Engineering, that's going to be tough to get a major publisher to approve the book. So thankfully, I had some good friends and mentors that said, you know what, if they don't want it, which I never actually submitted 10 years ago, I just said, I was just encouraged, self-publish them. And today, it's a lot easier to self-publish books. It's a lot easier not just to publish them, but also market books because of the internet, social media. So I had a good friend of mine, get that stuff you're working on. And what happened back in 2013, I self-published two entry-level books, one Reach for the Firefighter Badge and then a second complimentary book, The Future Firefighter's Preparation Guide, as well as a promotional book, How to Excel at Promotional Exams, all based on classes I've taught. You know, I've taught classes on getting hired, getting promoted, so I put a lot of that stuff together and self-published them, and amazingly, they've done decent, way better than I thought. And, you know, it took me a few years to make money back, and most people don't make money back they put into it, but what was hard for me was just getting over that hump of how do I make it look good? And that's, you know, content wise, I wasn't worried about obviously have people look at it and review it. But when you self-publish books, some of the companies have packages that they can, you know, make your cover look good and everything else. So I did that. That gave me the courage to continue, obviously, keep going. And over the years, I kept speaking, kept teaching, kept writing. Well, then Fire Engineering, about 3 years ago, that was my next fourth book, was I wanted to put together 101 Tips to Ace Your Promotional Exam, because I had had that concept in mind, and I had a chance meeting with one of the Fire Engineering Books and Videos members who had reached out to ask a question about one of the articles they previously published in the magazine. Just they were wanting to use it, permission. I'm like, of course, you know, thank you. I appreciate that. But anyway, we got on the subject about books, and I go, hey, I've got an idea for another book. And I remember, you know, what do you mean you got another? Oh, and we got talking, and I'd never met the individual before, but it was a great, well, tell me more. And I go, hey, I actually got a manuscript. You know, I sent manuscript to them. They're like, this is some good information here, you know. And, you know, and the thing about 101 Tips to Ace Your Promotional Exam, to some people I know it's very easy to say, well, I don't want to get promoted. I just want to be a firefighter or driver. And it really is a leadership book as much as it's a promotional preparation book, because to me, when you go for promotion, for example, you don't just go to try to pass the test. Yes, you got to pass the test to get the position. But to me, the people that are most successful in life, but also promotion exams, are those that prepare for the position. So if you prepare for the position you aspire to, if not the one above, whatever they throw at you during the testing process, oral interview, written test, assessment center, should be not that difficult because you've already prepared as well as you can, prepared through mentoring, reading, taking classes, all those things. But anyway, so that's how my fourth book, which was the first one published by Fire Engineering Books and Videos, came to fruition was, hey, I got 101 tips. Then as we were going through the contract phase and thinking about as we were bouncing ideas back, that's when the idea came out of like, hey, you know, you've got some great stuff here, but why don't you reach out to some of your friends and fire service leaders around the country and have them chime in. So like, for example, one of my tips to get promoted is don't prepare for the test, prepare for the position. So given that, I have the book that contains like a few pages of my own thoughts and suggestions on preparing for the position, but then I have somebody else that actually supports that. So that was the benefit when I started going through this was finding 37 people like yourself, Uncle Larry, that people that I respected, not just fire chiefs, but I looked at, okay, who are respected fire service leaders around the country of all ranks? Because I wanted it to be a book that was open to anybody, whatever size department, whatever type of department. So I've got current and active fire chiefs that wrote pieces, current and active battalion chiefs, deputy chiefs, company officers, and I even wanted the view of a firefighter in there of what are you looking for in a fire chief or a fire captain or a, you know, boss, because we all have different views of things. And that was what I was very happy with. And Paul Combs was nice enough to lend his artwork. I mean, his artwork really helped sum up a lot of the 101 points in there. But anyway, it's a leadership book that even if you have no desire to get promoted, it'll help you be the best you can be in your current position, even if it's just, say, firefighter, which is awesome because we need great people at every rank. And sometimes promoting is not the answer for each one of us. Like I said, I wanted to be a fire chief, but looking back at it, getting rejected for fire chief was probably the best thing that happened to me for a number of reasons, health and wellness, mental well-being. And I say that in a loving manner because I have a lot of friends like you do that are fire chiefs, but you know what? It's not for everybody. It's a very stressful job. So to me, it's a leadership with a lot of great tips and suggestions from people from all around the country to really hopefully light that fire. Even maybe you don't want to promote, and that's fine, but to help you be a good mentor, because even if you're just that senior firefighter, and in today's world, senior firefighter could be the one 10 or 15 years on the job, not 40 years, because that's a lost art of finding people that are still sometimes on the job, even as a firefighter that long. And you want to maybe help others, because that even that senior firefighter should be tapping people on the shoulder to, hey, did you consider promotion? Or maybe, hey, here's some suggestions to be a better firefighter or be a better driver or whatever else. So it was just a culmination of best practices. And then obviously my next book that hopefully will be coming out in the near future, Courage Under Fire Leadership, was another collection of just lessons learned over the years that I just have, again, keeping in a Word document, continuously adding to, and then, hey, you know what? You know, here's a contract for your next book and let's give it a shot. So the promotional stuff sort of was great to get me my foot in the door because that was my passion. And then, again, I'm not the leadership expert, But you know what? I got a lot of good suggestions and best practices that may or may not work for you. But again, that's a good, to me, that's what makes a good leader of any rank. Any one of us is not just relying on one person for all the answers. You're taking a little bit or maybe a lot or a marginal amount from each person that you come in contact with or each person you read about or you reach person you hear about, because we're all role models and we're all examples. Good, sometimes not so good.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
And you do?
Yeah.
Courage under fire leadership. Are you saying that that's a type of leadership? It's a very interesting title to me. And I found it very, you know, just trying to see how you interpret it. So are you saying that's a type of leadership, or that's what happens when you're under, you're a leader? What was the connection between courage under fire and leadership?
Well, thank you for asking that, because, again, as someone that was trying to learn as much as I can about leadership, along with the fire department, tactics and strategy, command. I mean, I try to learn as much as I can about everything within the fire service. Well, as I learn more about leadership and how much I don't know, I mean, we all know there's different styles of leadership or different, you know, we've all probably heard the terms like autocratic leadership, servant leadership, all those other things. I mean, I'm a fan of servant leadership. But what really dawned on me over the years was that it takes courage to be a leader. So trying to come up with, I don't want to say a catchy phrase to stand out, but I really honestly think it takes courage under fire to be just a good, solid leader in today's world. Whether you're a fire chief, police chief, senior firefighter, whether you're an elected official, president of the United States, a governor, city council member, whoever, for you to be able to raise your hand, I think it takes courage, because in today's world where everyone is basically a keyboard commando ready to shoot you down, you know, let's look back at the pandemic. I'll use that as a prime example of, you know, here comes the pandemic a couple of years ago, and Dr. Fauci, whether you love him or hate him, it doesn't matter, but here's Dr. Fauci. He's got his marching orders working for the president to be a subject matter expert. And here he is, whether you like him or not, doesn't matter, but here he is offering his professional opinion. And some people buy into what he's saying, some people he doesn't, but the man's getting death threats from some because of what he's saying, or maybe the fear of what he's saying, or the fear of how people interpret what he's saying. And that was it. And it was even before Dr. Fauci and the pandemic that I coined that phrase, but it really summed it up that to be that leader, to raise your hand, you're going to honestly piss off half people. In today's world, you're going to probably disappoint half the people, and you're going to probably make the other half happy. Well, we all know 50-50 favorability polls are impossible. You're doing good if you're making a third of the people happy. But that's why it takes courage, because it's easier to be a recliner sniper, and I love that term because I was guilty of that as a firefighter. Recliner sniper, meaning talking bad about my fire chief, my captain, my battalion chiefs. Hey, if I was a chief, I'd be doing this. And then a wise battalion chief years ago basically told me to shut up, and if you want to think you can do better, why don't you promote to my job and see how easy or not so easy it is to be a battalion chief or fire chief in that matter. And having courage, I think, we all know that leadership requires a lot of different traits. There's a lot of traits we don't even have time to discuss. But courage, I think, is one of the big traits, because you know you're going to take bullets from the haters out there. And even those that agree with what you're doing, like at the firehouse, let's say you're that company officer or that, let's say, we'll use company officer because we've used the term kitchen table. You're that company officer at the kitchen table, and you come walking in the room and, you know, the crew is like, hey, what's going on today? And you go, hey, here's the plan. We got to knock this out. We got to get this done. We need to get this training done at 1 o'clock today because we got blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we'll run calls, go shopping. You do your gig. And then you get one of your firefighters. Hey, captain, got this great idea today. Let's whatever. Hey, tell me more. What do you want to do today? And you're naive enough to think that, oh, yeah, it's going to be something that's going to be harmless and everything else. Well, the next thing you know, they're plotting out something that can ultimately get them in trouble, as we've seen around the country. You know, sometimes bad decisions are made when there's a group activity. And the next thing you know, that company officer has a choice to either say, no, we're not going to go there, or, hey, let's go along with it. That sounds like fun. The next thing you know, something bad happens. And then, of course, who gets blamed? The company officer, because they're the highest ranking person in the room. And you never want to be the highest ranking person in the room when things go south. But all because leadership to me doesn't start at the top. No disrespect to any fire chief out there. To me, leadership starts at the firehouse, which is the boots on the ground, lowest level, because it's that company officer that has that chance to make or break the service delivery. And unfortunately, there's a lot of company officers that don't want to rock the boat because they got two or three firefighters, and the two or three firefighters, let's go do this. You know, well, if it's not a good ethical decision or legal decision, you know what? Someone's got to be the adult and say, nah, we're not going to go there. But then what do you risk? But you risk your credibility. You risk the respect by raising your hand and having that courage to say, no, let's not do that. Let's instead just whatever, stand down. Not the smartest thing to do for our careers or for the public. Let's do what's right for the public. Well, it takes courage, and I think that's where, as I travel the country, I see the struggle is real. We've all heard of Chase Sargent's book, Buddy to Boss. Well, I've learned over the years that it's not just the buddy to boss problem, meaning going from firefighter to company officer. The buddy to boss problem is also going to battalion chief, because there's a lot of battalion chiefs that struggle with being leaders. That's why it takes courage, because we don't reward leaders. You don't see Dr. Fauci getting rewarded, whether you agree or disagree, but that there was a leader that was supposed to be, I don't think supposed to be, I think he was providing the best direction he could given the parameters that he had to work with. But he's getting death threats, he's getting the public that hates him, and you don't want to be that one person at the kitchen table that says, well, I think actually Dr. Fauci did the right thing, because what is the group mentality, the mob mentality do to you? Oh, shut up, you know, he's wrong. Okay, so it takes courage, and it's not a popularity contest. So long answer short, that's where I came up with the courage, is more just trying to inspire people that it's lonely sometimes having to make certain leadership decisions. Most of the decisions are easy, but sometimes you're going to rock the boat and you're going to pay for it.
That's a very good title. I wasn't sure where you were going or which way you were going, but it makes plenty of sense now that you've broken it down like that to me. Because it does take courage, and a lot of time you are under fire. But in all the years that I've had leadership positions, I never thought of myself as being courageous. But I'm saying now that you bringing it out like you're describing it, I was. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just that I wasn't thinking of it in that manner. That's a good. But it's good to have that title, so that people know that this is what it's going to take. Because people always, you know, they always strive to want to be in leadership, but they don't always think they're going to need courage to do it, especially under fire.
Well, it's like that old saying: everyone wants to do boss stuff until you actually got to do the boss stuff.
Exactly. You know. But I think that's a very inspiring title.
Let me interrupt you all right quick and give, because some other people may want to call in and have questions and things like that. I know I'm looking to get promoted just on this show, so I'm about that, Chief Steve. You can help me to get the data on the radio show. But anyway,
I
got a book for you.
Raising balls.
David,
you know what I'm
David
saying?
David's trying to have some courage on the show.
I'm sorry,
courage
David.
To get fired. It's going to be called courage to get fired.
That's the book I'm writing, is courage after being fired, you know. But anyway, 454-8852, 760-454-8852. Join the discussion. We'd love to hear from you.
And you're right about the courage under fire mentality, because the mob mentality is real. Whether it's a mob of two or a mob of 2,000, the mob mentality is real. So I think there have been times in history, definitely, we can pull up stories over and over again. I think the difference between now and history is that information gets out so fast. and yes. so serious that you got to be a quick study for your courage under fire these days, because sometimes you might have the minute to get ready because it ain't hit the papers yet. But today, it could be around the world. You did it 10 minutes ago. It could be around the world by 1:15, you know. So, and then you got to deal with not only people in your face, but like you said, the keyboard killers and all. And I've never had too much trouble with them because what I've always done since I was raised old school, and we should just talk about it face to face, they always seem to cut and burn on those instances. I've had people kind of come for me about a few things. Not a lot, but over the years there have been a few since I've, you know, learned to get on the social media thing. And I don't go after them online because I don't need anybody's validation to have a discussion with you. I don't want the likes or people on my side. I don't need that if I press them on right about something and you're not. And but maybe I could learn something, so I'm willing to do that too. But every time I inbox these people and say, hey, I understand you got a problem with something I said, some idea, my viewpoint, whatever the case may be. And I just want to let you know, let me clear up a few things for you, and whatever the case may be. And, of course, I don't want to continue to have this one-dimensional conversation because text is not the same as context. So if you want some context, then I'd be happy to meet you somewhere and talk about it. But if you just want to continue to text, then kind of delete me. Because if you didn't like what I said today, you really ain't going to like what I say going into the future. It's going to be miserable for you. So I suggest you put yourself out of your misery and delete me. It's okay. But if you want some context, I'd be happy to talk to you like a dog. Let's meet at the diner. Let's meet at wherever you want to meet. And we can talk about it because nothing beats an understanding. Now, I've never had anybody take me up on their offer. They love being in their own feelings about whatever it is. Take the snapshot of your social media life and then make that your whole life and then to build the island on that. And I just ain't got time for that, you know. And so that's what makes it so dangerous, because by the time things do get around the world, it's probably half the story or not even half the story, maybe a fourth of the story, you know. So your leadership really has to also have some confidence in it that I don't have to defend myself on certain things because I'm principally dialed in to what I believe, how I operate or whatever. And those principles are alone or enough for me. I don't have to prove anything to you. And if you don't want to come and have context and just want to rely on text, then I don't want to have no exchange with you because obviously being the keyboard kamikaze person, whoever you are, that's where your safe space is. So stay there. Enjoy that. But don't come here unless you're ready to have some big boy discussion. That's what I'm all about, and constantly evolving to. Because when I grew up, and like you said, we're around the same contemporary, that's how you dealt with stuff. We got an issue, we talked about it to each other in each other's space so we can understand the full context of communication, body language, voice and tone, and all that kind of stuff. You can't get that from a Facebook post, or you can't get that from an Instagram post, you can't get that from a text, you know, not in its entirety, you can't, you know, so like you said, but you got that solid principle leadership, you can have that courageous conversation with somebody, and it don't have to be ugly, you can agree to disagree, there's a whole bunch of people I don't agree with that I consider friends. You got your viewpoint, I got mine. We don't have to be difficult with each other. It's just I grew up the way I did. I had my experience, and you grew up the way you did. You had your experiences, and that's okay. But you can't. And the reason this is not me trying to get off topic of being a firefighter, being a fire officer. It's necessary because we have an intimate job with each other. They always laugh at the phrase I always say. when I, as a company officer, if I go get Q-tips at some Walgreens, we all got to go, you know. But if you're at home, I'm going to get some Q-tips. Okay, well, why are you there? Pick me up a Snicker on your way back. Thank you. You know, that's how it is. You leave your family at home. You don't give everybody in the station away and go to Walgreens for your Q-tips. But if you need Q-tips on truck 13, we all got to go. You know, so it's an intimate relationship. It's team, the team movement all the time. And you don't know how to deal with people face-to-face, or your only way of dealing with people is hiding behind the keyboard, you're probably not going to make a good team member at the firehouse. And you definitely are not going to make a good leader one day, because leaders have to lead in all capacities. They can text, they can context, and they can do everything in between. And that's what makes a solid whole leader when you talk about your leadership, you know. So
one of the other things I wanted to put in here right quick, too, I found this courage under fire leadership. I just really liked that. But then all of a sudden it dawned on me, the Conley brothers have a personal leadership program. And that's about basically being the leader of me, myself, and I.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes some serious courage, too, because sometimes your attacks are self-inflicted. sometimes the fire that you're fighting is something that about the way you think about yourself or how
yep.
you see yourself. And so the personal leadership is for you to say, I'm not necessarily over a group of people. I may be or I may not be. But either way, I still need to be in charge of me. And so it just hit me. It takes a lot of courage to even do that. To be yourself and be your best
right.
self and even be that under fire in your own mind about how you see you before you
yep.
even get to you might not ever be over a group of people.
Yep.
Or you may not have any opportunity to ever be over a group of people, but you will
mm-hmm.
always be able to be the leader of you. But you still need
yep.
the courage under fire.
Yeah.
No,
you need that. You need that even more with yourself, you know, because it's easy to hide. Even as a leader, I've seen this, and I've seen it my whole career. There are a lot of people who hide behind their rank, and they haven't
yep.
dealt with themselves yet, and then they use their rank to try to
exactly.
beat you upside the head
exactly.
with it, and you done peeped. But
exactly.
they ain't looked at the man in the mirror yet. You got to
exactly.
start with the man with the mirror, and you got to ask him to change his ways, because no message could
mm-hmm.
be in the clearer if you want to. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot.
You're being bad.
You got to make that change. You got to make that change.
But really,
bad.
To say the truth, most of the time when people thought of leadership, they did not
yeah.
think of person. Okay, they just
mm-hmm.
didn't. If you were only a leader, if you were over at least one other person or
right.
couple, two or three people. But,
mm-hmm.
And I don't think the average person thinks, I guess since we're having this dialogue or this conversation, then, you know, they're not thinking, oh, well, I do have to have some courage or, you know, sometimes I may have to be under fire or whatever. But that's not necessarily what you're thinking about per se when you go apply for a leadership position. You know,
mm-hmm.
you just think that it's going to, you know, I'll be in charge or
mm-hmm.
I'll make more money or I have a title or whatever. You know, it could be
right.
a lot of more. Because I think if you thought that you had that courage in the fire, you might be hanging down. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But my
yeah.
thing is, I think, but what really has really struck a chord with me is that regardless of whether it's personal, just you know, your personal leadership, governing yourself, taking care of yourself, dealing with yourself when you have issues that you need to address and going to get the proper help, and all of those things. That's something you would probably encourage your team to do if you were over a group. But it's also stuff that you should encourage yourself to do. If whether you're over a team or you're, you know, just dealing with me, myself, and I. Same principle. And I think that's something, but the courage under fire part, I don't necessarily think that people think of that, at least I'm just in my own opinion, think of that much is required when you over anybody or it just over yourself. I think that's great, that courage on your part.
Well, and it's funny you mentioned that because when I teach classes, that is personal leadership is probably the key thing that I really start with because you hit everything perfectly. And then it's almost like you've sat through one of my classes or something else because if you can't be a leader of one yourself.
Before, I was teaching this before you even thought of it. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's okay. And I'm just, but it's so true people tend to forget that.
Yeah.
So true.
I mean, I just, it's really deep that you put those words in there in front of the word leadership. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I can't stop looking at you. Mm-hmm. It's great. That was great inspiration. Great.
But Chief, I know that we talked earlier before this, and you know we had limited time because I know it's still the sun is still out in Cali. It's dark and ugly down here in the Midwest because you're 2 hours behind. So, but I know you said you had plans tonight, and I want to respect your time. So I want to start to wrap things up because I know we could talk forever. And the good thing about our show is that we've had guests that come on multiple times. And sometimes it's just a continuation of how we, you know, where we got started when we had more time. So I want to respect your time. And then also tell you too, I'm going on record to say that I'm putting you on the list because of bringing. Of coming to town because now I have a training budget so that I could, you know, kind of bring people to town and all. So that's the chief stuff. But anyway,
I welcome the opportunity because again, give me some folks that want to talk shop and are open to good suggestions. Yeah. I really hats off to chiefs like you because there's nothing. I've been to a lot of places. I've been very fortunate, and it's so nice when you go to a place where you have the training chief or the fire chief that brings in a lot of different people so they get a different perspective and they're open-minded. I mean, you don't have to agree with everything I say, but maybe there's something that'll hit the tone. So I definitely would welcome that opportunity, especially welcome the opportunity to come because we could, like you said, we could talk for hours and I appreciate the time. But I do want to hit one point before I head out. You've made the comment about the California surfer, which is hilarious because growing up in the San Francisco Bay Area, we're about maybe San Jose is about 30 minutes from the ocean. I joke with people, I'm probably the only guy you'll ever meet from California, born and raised, that doesn't own a pair of flip-flops and doesn't surf. If I'm not teaching, it's typically shorts. I'm in shorts year round unless I have to teach or, you know, go to work for something, but it's shorts and tennis shoes. Call me weird, call me non-California, but there's always exceptions. There's the rule.
Right.
Exceptions. I'm the exception rule.
Are you sure you're from California?
That's what my birth certificate, that's what my parents tell me, unless they
right.
They have me somewhere else, but
Well,
you need to come back so you can just talk about that book. Just the book.
I would love to, and I'd love to chat more with everybody.
After the book is out, when the book comes out, I'm sure we can come back and talk about it even more because the book will be out then, you know. So we wanted to give everybody a teaser now because the book is still in production at this point. The other thing, we miss you when Dave and I were out in Cali, so. I know they talked about maybe bringing us back out. So we look forward to maybe this time you'll be in town when we come out and see my good friend Damon Simmons. I think we missed Reggie Friedman, who's out there, and a couple of other West Coast people. So it's always a good time. But we had a great time out there. Had some barbecue and taught at the college and had some scenic views and saw a tourist truck and all that kind of stuff. the last thing I was going to say, too, is that I know I get a lot of my dear friends and supporters and people I care about, they always ask me about when you're going to write your book. And it just seems intimidating to me. I'm trying to get over things. And listening to you is just more inspiration because I know you said you had a lot of information that you wanted to put out and you just kind of put it all together. So putting pen to paper is I know Bobby even told me, you know, Vic Lasky told me, you know, if you wrote a lot of papers in school, you already done wrote a book, so this is not as kind of difficult as you're making it, you know. So it's not that, it's coming from a person who's written a lot of books, it's not that big of a deal, what you're saying.
I told you to write a book a long time ago. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wonder how come he got to come on the show to get you to write a book. But, you know, I've been asking you to write a book quite a while. But anyway, never mind. Go ahead, Chief.
He only got a few minutes left.
Easier said than done, but you know what? I think the biggest thing I've learned is as my wife reminds me all the time, is we don't get a dress rehearsal in life, meaning we only get one chance to live our lives. And, you know, I just, like I said, been fortunate to have opportunities come my way, and sometimes I turn them down, but sometimes I say yes. One thing leads to another. So, yeah, I think for people that are like ourselves that are motivated to share information and be better and pass on good what we think are good practices, it's just a matter of sometimes a kick in the butt, and that's sometimes all we a little nudge is all we need. So if you need a little nudge, be happy to reach out and be a nudge. No Bruce Blair.
If you need a kick in the butt, I can do that.
Hey!
I know you know karate, but hey, you know, I know courageous. The big payback, you know. Where are you gonna be next, Chief?
Where am I next?
Speaking engagement coming up.
I got some local stuff going on here, and then I got a fire department up in Oregon in the Portland area I'll be at next month, and where else? Got the Montana fire chiefs 2 weeks from now doing their closing keynote. Good friend of ours, Reggie Freeman's doing the opening keynote. I'll be doing the closing keynote as well as some classes and a lot of things scattered around the states, Florida, Montana for the first time, which is nice, going to New York here later on this year, Texas. So a lot of good stuff. Very fortunate.
And obviously, you're going to be taking some rock concerts along the way.
That's a good part of being retired is I can tie in a little bit of time to catch a rock concert, never dull on that. And then obviously looking forward to getting FDIC next year. So very fortunate and blessed and honored. So just happy to be able to hang out with cool people like all of you.
Well, hopefully we could put you on the map for Collinsville in 2023 and get you to come down and share with the good folks in Collinsville, Illinois. They're a hungry group. They're ready for diverse types of ideas to help them be better. And our job is to put Collinsville on the map. You want to look at America just like the bat signal. You want to see the symbol of Collinsville coming out of the Midwest. And that's what one of my goals is to do, is to put help put it on the map with the vision of our fire chief John Baylor and our operations chief Kevin Lee. So we got work to do, but everybody's pulling in the same direction. So I'm glad to be part of have a job, but have a vision with the job. So it's a good time to be a firefighter, as I said earlier. You got any closing words, and then we'll go around the horn and close it out with David and. Yeah, Mommy Lane. So what you got, Chief?
Well, great segue there, and I'm so happy for you because you're bringing me almost back to 11 years ago when I was promoted to training chief, and the fire chief at the time, I was taking over for him because the fire chief was the deputy chief of training. He got promoted, so I was taking his spot, and I remember in my interview going, well, I wasn't trying to badmouth him because he did an awesome job, but I also trying to walk that walk of, hey, I'm going to try to do my best to make it better. And he literally said, Steve, the only reason I'm going to promote you is to make it better than I had it. He goes, I think I did an okay job, very self-deprecating, humble man that did an awesome job. But he goes, I want you to take this to the next level. And I think that was
very exciting for me to be able to be that new training chief. And I look back knowing there's a lot of things I could have done differently, better, and so forth. But same thing, like you said, bringing in speakers, trying to expose people to different things they may not have been exposed to. So I'm really excited for you in that sense. So keep up the great work there. But for all of you, obviously, I appreciate, like I said, I'm very humbled for the opportunity to be on here and talk some good Firehouse Kitchen Table talk and look forward to future opportunities as well. But to everybody out there listening, thank you very much for your time, the gift of your time. And I'm a resource. You know, my website is code3firetraining.com or just Google Bruce Borowski and hope. My cell phone's on there, my email address, my website, code3firetraining.com, has a free stuff link, free stuff. So a lot of good leadership stuff, officer development stuff, training stuff, a lot of good resources that have helped people get promoted or just be better at the current rank. So a lot of great stuff there, a lot of videos that I put on, a couple hundred videos on getting promoted, getting hired. So a lot of good resources because that's sort of me. So, again, I have that passion. I hope as long as I'm on this earth, I'm able to still not just have fun, but, you know, be able to help others and do fun things like this and obviously live and enjoy life, like going to concerts, going to ball games, and just doing what I can as I'm on the right side of the earth. So thank you all for your time, and hopefully our paths will cross again, but hopefully for anybody else out there listening, don't hesitate to reach out if I can ever be of assistance to you, seriously. So thank you all.
Appreciate it. And I'm going to need you to because I'm a new training chief, and I'm going to be calling you for resources on things too because I've been calling some of my great friends around the country. I know I talked to Frank Viscuso, I talked to Frank Lee, I talked to Joe Netter, I've been talking to all these giant training chiefs and just getting all of their input and trying to make sure that I hybrid this stuff and put some Uncle Larry on it and really be able to deliver Collinsville what they need. So I'm going to need you to write that book, Training Chief of Dummies, because I'm going to need that. I do pretty good. Training Chief of Dummies, you know, and send it to me, to my good friend, Chief Conley, you know. seriously, thank you for your time on that. Miss Elaine, what you got to close out with?
I'm so fascinated by Courage Under Fire leadership, even to be able to take time out to chill, meditate, and rest. Same qualities, same things are needed. It takes courage to even do that. And you will be under fire. So I'm just going to be wearing that out. I teach about resting, but sometimes it takes courage under fire to even make yourself stand down, take a breather, rest, recuperate. I just think it's great. Thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for your kind words that you made my day.
David?
Yeah, and listen, there was a lot of great information and a lot of inspiration. And I don't think a lot of people think that they are going to need courage to actually be a leader. You know, I don't think that they take into account the amount of fire they're going to take. And so, you know, everybody just wants the prestige about and work and stuff. And so I thank you for having the courage to put some information like that together along with all the other books that you have and to put yourself out there as a resource for people. So we appreciate you being our guest. Look forward to seeing you the next time when we cross paths on the road, and look forward to having you back, actually. And so especially when, you know, you write Deputy Chief for Dummies, and then in parentheses, I think I put L-A-R-R-Y, C-O-N-L-E-Y. Anyway, you stay out there when you're traveling around.
I did the best I could.
She did the best she could. But anyway, have a great time this evening, Alan Callis, with your wife, and we're going to be back. The next time we'll be back is possibly 7 weeks from today. I know it's going to be hard to wait because you want to hear this type of information and humor I can't wait to get back to it, but our next guest is going to be the one and only Chief Rick Lasky, and we'll be talking about everything Chief Lasky when we talk to him. And then that's a segue into him coming on to Collinsville on November 19th at the Gateway Center. So we're looking forward to a 4-day of that. And then, and like I said, you know, I got a list. I got a nice, wholesome list of people that I'm looking forward to come through, present company included. And so come if you're in the region, it's not just a Collinsville thing. Collinsville is going to be hosting it. But anybody within that region, Missouri, Illinois, we got a couple of people even calling me that's coming from Kentucky, you know, and things like that. So just know that it's a great time to be in the fire service. We're in a game-changing paradigm right now with these lithium batteries, as Bobby Harden says, and the game-changing time in being a leader, courage under fire, because you're under fire a lot faster now with social media and the whole thing. So that's a whole different navigation than Chief Petrovsky grew up with. You know, there's a whole different navigation. So we gotta evolve and learn how to skillfully work our way through that, so we can still be effective as well. So, but anyway, check out where me and David going to be. We got a few dates coming up ourselves. Check us out at www.BlueNationLDC.com and see where in the world is the Conley brothers. And so we got that happening. Got the new job now, so we're doing like the furniture store weekends only. So if you got some weekend stuff he wants to do for you, we do the weekend. we got a lot of weekend stuff we can do for you. So have us out and let's have a good time talking about personal leadership. One thing I like about it, you can't, and Chief, you brought it up earlier about leadership is not really, it can be a saturated topic. But the reason I don't totally believe that in a sense is because everybody has their voice. There's going to be people that hear leadership, personal leadership things from you, they're going to hear a difference from the way David and I do it, and vice versa. So you know, or you talk about Francisco or Rick Lasky, these are all leadership gurus and people who talk about it. But their flavor and all of our different ways of delivering it, people hear it different ways. And we all could be part of that puzzle piece to help keep you whole when it comes to your leadership, your personal leadership, advancement on a job, being better for your loved ones, and things like that. These different, there's no puzzle. If all puzzle pieces were the same size, it wouldn't be a puzzle. What makes it the mosaic is all the different shapes and sizes of the pieces that make the whole picture. So I'm glad to be one of those pieces linked with you, or linked with some of the other greats that we mentioned. And making that whole mosaic of a great firefighter. So I'm glad to be linked to you guys. So let's keep doing what we're doing, keep being the best we can be. And there's no competition. There's just, you know, there's just giving and love for our profession and love and our leadership. So having said that, I'm going to sign off and check us out. And say your say your website one more time before we sign off.
Code3firetraining.com. Code3firetraining.com.
Okay, code3firetraining.com. You heard it here. So we're talking code 7 weeks.
Number three.
Actually, funny you say that. I think I pay for both code 3 with a number, and then for sometimes people that struggle with that, it's if you type in code 3, you should also get the same thing. So.
Okay. Well,
but 3, the number is usually the easiest and the shortest.
Okay. Checking. Great.
All right. So we'll talk to you next time, and we'll see you. The next show is on Halloween.
<October 31st. laughs> Take care. Be well, everybody. Thank you again.
All right.
You too.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.